In the gospel reading today, we hear about the genealogy of Jesus, and some of us might wonder what that has to do with Christmas. Others might be looking at this and saying, how boring of a reading, just one name after the next of people that we have no idea who they are. But for somebody in the first century who would be reading this, this would actually be the most exciting part of the entire gospel, because it puts everything into a context for them. I think most of us understand that. We all like to know who our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents and so on are. We like to hear about the family history and who did what and so on. That's exactly what this does. But what is important about it for us and why this would actually be given to us by the church on Christmas is because it traces the humanity of Jesus. Now, the interesting thing is, if you actually listen to it carefully, it has nothing to do with the actual humanity of the Lord Jesus himself, because this traces everything down to Saint Joseph, and Jesus was not the biological son of Saint Joseph. So again, we might ask, then why is that even there? Well, that little point that we heard in the gospel, that Joseph took his wife into his home. Remember, in Galilee at the time of our Lord, the people would get married, but for 6 months to a year they would not live together and they would not consummate their marriage. And only after that period of time would the woman move into the house with the man. So they were already married. So betrothed does not mean engaged. They were already married, but they weren't yet living together. Thus, the reason the angel sang, don't be afraid to take your wife into your home. Now, by Jewish law, the moment that a woman who is with child crosses the threshold of that house, the child in her womb legally becomes the child of the man. And so even though our Lord is not biologically the child of Saint Joseph, legally he is. So this tracing of the humanity of our Lord through the line of Saint Joseph helps us to understand the legality of who Jesus is. Now, what's important in here as well is the fact that what we heard from St. Paul, that it was promised to David by God that he would raise up one of his descendants after him. And so that's exactly what we hear in this, except, again, we'd have to say, but legally this is a descendant, but is he physically? And if we remember when the angel Gabriel appeared to our Blessed Lady, he said to Our Lady that God will give him the throne of his father David. So Our Lady also is a descendant of David. And so our Lord then has that bloodline from David. Here we also see that it's traced back to Abraham in Matthew's gospel, because the promise was made to Abraham. St. Luke traces it all the way back to Adam. So from the beginning of humanity all the way up to the birth of our blessed Lord. But for us, it is that matter then of being able to look at this and say, okay, once again, why? Why is this so important? Because it is about the humanity of Jesus. Jesus is God from all eternity. As the second person of the Most Holy Trinity, he is not created. He is God. He is the creator of all that exists. Remember, God is a trinity of persons. And so it wasn't that the Father existed first and then the Son and then the Holy Spirit. All three of them are divine. All three have no beginning. All three will have no end. They are eternal. And so the divinity of Jesus, the way that it's presented here, is just assumed, which is a fascinating thing, because 2,000 years ago, people couldn't see his divinity. All they could see is his humanity. But in this case, his divinity was simply assumed. And so what was important was to show the truth of his humanity. Now that became very important in later centuries when different people who had been condemned of heresy came up with all kinds of interesting ideas about who Jesus was. Some people said he didn't have a human soul. He had an animal soul, but he had a human body. Some people said he didn't really have a human body. It was just a facade. You know, like if an angel appeared to you, well, an angel doesn't have a body, so if he appeared to you, he's got to make some way of showing himself so it looks like he has a body, but he really doesn't. Other people had all kinds of goofy ideas about it. That's why God made very clear that Jesus Christ is human. He is God from all eternity, and he took a human nature to himself. And he is born of a virgin. That is what we are celebrating today. This is probably the favorite feast of the vast majority of Christian people. Easter is the greatest of all of the feast days, but Christmas is probably the favorite of most, because all of us can understand the joy of the birth of a baby. All of us can understand the beauty, the majesty, the awe, as well as the joy that is there within a mother having just given birth to her first child. The miracle that happens not only in the conception of a child, but the miracle of the birth and the joy that comes with it. And because we can all relate to that, it makes this feast such a blessing and such a joy for all of us. But we have to be able to see the deeper part of that. We can rejoice in the birth of any child as we do. But this child is God. God who took a human nature to himself. The child is born because God loves us that much. What is a child when you really stop to think about this? The child is the living, tangible, and fleshed sign of the love of the parents. For parents, when you look at the face of your child, you should see the love that you have for your spouse and your spouse has for you being reflected back to you, because that's who that person is. That's exactly who Jesus is. He is the overflow of the love of God. He is the love of God, made human, because God loves us that much. But let's even make it more personal. It's because God loves you that much. If we say he loves us that much, yeah, then it's just, well, yeah, he loves everybody. Yes, he does. God is in love with you personally, individually. He became incarnate for you. Yes, he became incarnate for everyone. But he became incarnate for every one of us individually because he is in love with you. That's what we see reflected in the face of this beautiful child in the manger in Bethlehem. We see the love of God in a way that we can grasp that. We can't ever fully grasp what love is anyway. For those of you who are married and you look at your spouse and you ask the question, does your spouse love you? How do you know? What proof do you have? You don't. You see it, you trust it, you're confident in it because it's been demonstrated, but there's no scientific proof for such a thing. So God says to us over and over again how much he loves us. In our humanness, we like to say, demonstrate it, prove it. How do I know? That's what he did. He gave himself to us in a way that we understand love. A baby, A baby is all about love. Who can't love a baby? All you got to do is think about what happens for most of us when we're around a baby. We make utter fools of ourselves. Make all kinds of weird noises and strange faces and do all kinds of odd things that we would never, ever do anywhere else. And nobody thinks that you're strange doing it because they all do the same thing. But if you did that to anybody else, they would go, oh, that person's weird. There's something wrong with that guy. Not with a baby. You can be completely vulnerable with a baby. You can open your heart totally to a baby because you know you're not going to get hurt. God knows that. He could have just come down into this world as a 33-year-old man, lived for one day, and died on the cross for us. He didn't do it that way. Because even though we can look at what happened on the cross and say that's the greatest act of love that humanity has ever known, we look at that baby and we say, there is love. So we might miss it if it weren't for the baby. So that's what God has done. God wants your heart. God wants your whole being. He wants your heart. So it's one thing, again, to look at the points of the faith and to look at the catechism and give intellectual assent to all the truths that are there. God doesn't just want your mind. He wants your heart. He wants you to love him because he loves you. That's the nature of love. It can't be a one-way street. It has to be a two-way street. So he wants you to receive his love and he wants you to love him in return. So how can he demonstrate that to you? How can he get you to open your heart to be able to receive him and to love him in return? In the way that every human being can understand, he made himself a human baby so that we could grasp the love of God to the degree that we're capable of doing, and that we can love him in return without fear. Then we recognize, because he is God and God cannot change, the love of that little baby is the same as the love of the man on the cross and the same as the love of the man in heaven. And so if we can be vulnerable with the baby, we can be vulnerable with God at any point. If we can love that child, we can love God, because the child is God. So as we celebrate today this beautiful feast, that's the thing that we want to be able to focus on. The love of God in human form. That is who Jesus is. He took a human nature so that we would have the ability to receive his love. That's why this reading is so important. It grounds us in the humanity of Christ so that we know who he is, and that we know this isn't a facade. We know that this isn't something fake. We know that this isn't something that's just temporary, because this is who he is. He is love, and he loves you. And that little baby in the crib is calling you to let your guard down, to let him love you. And he's asking you if in your heart you are willing to love him in return.